every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Come on around back, Arizona, all the way back. We're going past the back 40. We're going all the way down to Casa Grande, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. First Saturday of the month in our outdoor living hour. So that means we're talking farm fresh commodities with spokeswoman Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau. Welcome to 2021.
Yes, it's 2021. Happy New Year. It was a busy holiday season for all of us, but now we're going to get to crank into this new year, and hopefully we have better stories to tell in 2021 than we did in 2020.
Well, it's really funny. One of my daughters yesterday said, "Man, I can't believe 2020 is over. This has been the best year of my life."
Awesome.
So it's all perspective, I guess.
It is all perspective.
And when we put together our home maintenance calendar that we deliver to whoever is on the mailing list, you have to ask for it, and then we just send it to you, and we'll send you a new one every year. We put them together. They have to go to print in July. I don't know why you have to print calendars 6 months early, but that's that's just the way the calendar industry is for whatever reason. So we'd like to put in there what we're going to be talking about. And this hour, the first Saturday of the month, in our outdoor living hour, we try and bring a local commodity from Arizona's farmers and ranchers into Arizona homes. You know, connect the local market with, you know, what we are growing here in Arizona. Arizona Farm Bureau is the farming industry, the agriculture is a $23 billion industry to Arizona. And when I saw Arizona Gourds for January, I thought, well, whatever, I'll figure it out then. What?
Well, over the years, we've brainstormed very productively on some of the commodities, and we just hadn't done gourds yet. And I thought, oh my gosh, we need to do this. And if we talk about gourds, we have to bring in the Wirtz family, and specifically Waylon Wirtz. And he's on with us. Waylon, thanks for joining us. But it's an amazing crop, and he's got a great story behind it. But Waylon, welcome. And before you even get into your gourds, you have to tell us about the Wirtz farming legacy footprint here in Arizona.
Sure. First of all, gourd morning, everybody. So we got to get that out of the way with. So
I love it.
But yeah, happy to be on this morning. And extremely proud of my family who's been farming in Arizona now for, oh, geez, it's going to be close to 90 years. And you know, our family moved from South Dakota in 1929 to start cotton farming in Pinal County, and the rest is history. But we still have one of my founding great uncles still with us here. He's in his mid-90s right now. But my grandfather, a bunch of great uncles, they all started farming in Pinal County, and a lot of the cousins and everybody started farming as well. And it's been a great family tradition, and super proud of my family.
So cotton, wheat, alfalfa, just about every crop you can imagine, the Wirtz family's grown, and mostly in Pinal County, but not exclusively, right? And just
correct.
Like
mostly in Pinal County. So okay. That's but one of the great uncles ventured off and farmed a lot in Blythe, California, and he recently passed away a couple years ago, but left his mark. And we've always kind of grown the traditional crops that you'd see in this area, like you just said.
One of the other things that I like to highlight for those listeners here too is the Wirtz family can take credit, and I don't know if it would be one of your grandfather or uncles or whoever in the clan, so to speak, but developed the drip irrigation system and a lot of the systems that would most of our farmers use today when they use the drip. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Howard Wirtz, he's the great uncle to me that's still with us here. And he basically kind of made it work. And he had on his farm several thousand acres in subsurface drip irrigation. And he really kind of pioneered that in this area and then around the country as well. So super proud of his accomplishments and his patents and everything else that he's helped to contribute to ag.
I like to say about the Wirtz family are similar to the Rovies. We have to call it the Wirtz clan because there's so many of you, and all of you have a unique footprint, so to speak, in farming still. And with you, it's the gourds. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into that. I kind of want to spread that out. But what inspired you to farm gourds instead of some of the traditional crops that the rest of the Wirtz family has done?
Sure. Well, just like, you know, any other farmer out there, a lot of traditional crops, you've just got to do, you know, close to thousands of acres to try to make a profit on it, especially within in today's climate of, you know, not high earnings on, you know, cotton, wheat, barley, and stuff like that. So when I was finishing up down at the University of Arizona with also a bunch of the Rovies down there too, got to give them the quick,
go
quick
Wildcats.
Them, they're some of my best buddies that I can imagine. So, but yeah, I was finishing up down there and I thought, I want to come back and farm, but I don't really know what to do. You know, our family farm at that time was only 1,000 acres, and to have, you know, two families try to make a living off that, it just wasn't possible. So on a whim, I just decided to plant two rows of gourds next to a cotton field that happened to get water. And the rest is kind of history. Everybody down at the Aggie house down there at University of Arizona kind of gave me a hard time, but that was the beginning of it. And I needed to make a truck payment. So having a truck payment, I thought maybe I can sell these weird looking vegetables or fruits or whatever you want to call it at the time. And it started paying off. So that's kind of the beginning of the whole gourd thing. And I really liked them because gourds don't rot on you. You don't have to take and try to move, you know, your whole crop in a matter of a couple of weeks to keep them from spoiling. So the fact that they pretty much last forever was a big driving force as to why I got into it.
Now, Julie posted a picture of you this morning holding. What are you holding? I mean, the thing looks like it's 30 pounds.
It is a gourd.
Yeah, it is a gourd. For those of you that are on the Arizona Farm Bureau and you've seen that picture, it's what they call a caveman club gourd. And normally we would let that completely dry to where it looks brown, but in that picture it's green, and oh, it kind of looks like maybe a 5-6 foot long zucchini or squash. But that would eventually harden, and then people could turn that into whatever kind of art project they wanted to. So, and there's hundreds of varieties of gourds. We happen to grow about 35, 36 varieties. And from year to year, we accidentally create some accidental crosses that happen too.
So some of these crosses you've created yourself, you know, earlier when you mentioned that you just decided to take two rows because it was near a cotton field and it was getting some water, that made me immediately think of Mother's garden. She'd always say, Pat, leave me a few rows at the end because I know they'll get water. And that's how she would do her garden. And it was always abundant.
Yeah, it just kind of happens that way. If you've got water going by there, you sure don't want to waste it. So you might as well plant something. And sure enough, it panned out. But like I said, I've been growing gourds commercially now for 20 years, which it just seems like yesterday. But it's been a fun venture.
Well, you have some unique claims with your gourds here in Arizona. Things like, in terms of the size and varieties, what are some of those claims to fame that the Wirtz Gourd Farm can hold on to?
Sure. Well, the first thing, you know, after I realized that the gourds could, you know, kind of be profitable, we wanted to get our hands on as many varieties to grow as we could. Because everybody out there starts seeing, oh, I can make this out of this shape and this out of that shape and kind of go from there. But what really makes our gourds known throughout the world now is our shell thickness. And it just, a lot of it has to deal with the genetics of the variety that we're growing, but a good chunk of it has to do with our climate that we have. So we found out a long time ago that the longer we can keep that plant alive and start keep getting more nutrients and water to it, we can start thickening up that shell. And having a thick shell on these really allows the artist to do deep relief carving and have some sustenance in that shell that they can really create some beautiful artwork with. So the thickness, the size, the different varieties really kind of makes us known throughout the country.
Most of the time when we have a Farm Bureau guest, it's, you know, what to look for when you're at your local bashes. Am I going to like Arizona Art Studios to buy this? Where this gourd you're holding, where do I go to find that?
Sure, yeah. And the beauty of the gourds is, like I kind of said earlier, is they don't go bad. Once they're dry, they will be around longer than any of us will be alive. And one of the cool, interesting facts that we learned a long time ago is that they have found gourds in caves that have been carbon dated to over 5,000 years old.
Wow.
That's cool in itself, but they were able to take some of those seeds and actually germinate those seeds from 5,000 years ago. So the fact that the gourds can last longer than a piece of wood, I always thought was really amazing. So, you know, it's just an interesting crop, and I wish I had more time to talk on these. But and every year we're learning more and more about this fun history and the uses and all of that.
Well, and I can so see why the climate here in Arizona is making so much sense for the quality of gourds that you guys are growing, because we have 300 plus days of sunshine, and it's impacted, and we're one of the few states, a few other, like California and Florida, can claim this. We can be planting and harvesting 12 months out of the year. So it's constant, where in the Midwest, if I was farming there, I might be shut down in the coldest parts of it other than feeding my cattle and having stored the hay so I can feed them. But here in Arizona, we're constantly planting and harvesting, and it's making a difference. And so for you, that length of growth for the gourd is what's creating that really thick shell. So if I'm an artist, it's going to be real important for me. So
absolutely. Cool. And something people have to get out of their minds too is when most people think of gourds, they think of this colorful, bumpy stuff that you see around Thanksgiving time that are meant for table decorations. The varieties that we grow are called a hard shell variety. The ones you see in the supermarkets, those are an ornamental variety. Hard shell varieties, once they dry, they are going to look actually like a hollow chunk of wood. And that's where, you know, you start seeing the fine art that's done out of these, you know, these fruits. And we can thicken up that shell, and it just lends to beautiful, beautiful artwork that people create that you'll see, you know, finished gourd pieces in the $15,000 to $20,000 range. And it's just amazing what people are creating.
Talk about value add.